Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
That's Martha Reeves and the Vandellas. I'm Errol Lewis of the New York Daily News, sitting in for Brian Lehrer. Brian will be back tomorrow. From a look at the environmental movement, we're going to look at the actual change in climate. And New Yorkers, of course, could be forgiven for thinking that maybe global warming was a reality just this week. Yesterday it was in the 80s. Right now it's still in the high 60s. It may not be 100 degrees, but we are going through a heat wave. The thermometer yesterday was in the 80s, and we're in the second week of October. We'd like to know, how has this weather affected you and your life, and more importantly, your appetite? Do you feel like you can't make potato leek soup because it would be just too hot to eat? Are you still barbecuing? Has the weather extended the use of your grill past Labor Day? Are you adapting fall vegetable dishes for your grill? Do you have a killer appetite for grilled root vegetables? Give us a call at 212-433-WNYC. That's 433-9692. Or you can comment at our website. Go to www.wnyc.org and click on the Brian Lehrer Show. Joining me to talk about how the weather has affected our food is Nina Plank, former director of New York's Green Market and author of Real Food, What to Eat and Why. Good morning, Nina.
Good morning, Errol. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. We were trying to figure out one way or another to get to the most interesting question about this heat wave. And in the end, we came up with food. How does this affect what's going on now? How does this affect what's available in the stores and what's being grown on local farms?
Well, it's made for just an extraordinary late summer, early fall season. It happens to be one of my favorite times of year because you still get all those hot, late summer Mediterranean vegetables like tomatoes and red peppers and eggplant and basil, the things you make ratatouille with. But meanwhile, all the fall crops are coming on. So those are the root vegetables you mentioned, sweet potatoes, all those beautiful fall greens, Asian greens, collards, kale. But this one has been, it really takes the cake because it's as if it's, I don't know, September 4th and not October 9th.
So you talk to a lot of local farmers. How has the weather affected their crops? Are they getting second harvest?
Well, what's happened, I spoke to two farmers this week who both told me they hadn't had a hard freeze yet, and that is really the main thing farmers talk about this time of year. We're all looking at the thermometer when we wake up in the morning, and my parents might call from Virginia and say, well, it was 31 this morning, and we'll know then that they've lost some tomato plants and some of the more delicate things, but things like fall greens will be just taking off when it gets nippy like that. So when I talk to two farmers in upstate New York who haven't had a frost yet, and it's the first week of October, that means that they're still lucky enough to be bringing some summer vegetables.
And so that's all good? There's no hidden downside to the late freeze or the lack of a freeze?
Well, one thing we look for in a frost is a higher sugar content of certain things. It's basically a natural antifreeze. So things like greens especially raise their sugar levels naturally as the weather gets colder, which makes them able to survive cooler temperatures, and that does make them a bit sweeter. But it doesn't mean that we're going to have a season of bitter greens. It's just something we look for in the seasons.
We're taking your calls at 212-433-WNYC. That's 433-9692. John, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Errol. How are you?
Good.
Well, to answer your question directly, I grill all year, but we're not using the oven at all, and it's all stovetop and grilling and pasta and stuff like that. But the main thing I wanted to bring up is I've been noticing this year, I've been living around here for 40 years, okay? I'm only 3 years older than that. And I've seen varieties of bugs of different sizes and stuff like that that I have never seen before. And I've actually been considering contacting an entomologist at a college or something like that to find out if this is just me or if this is really happening. I don't know where they're coming from, if they're moving up from the south or what, but I don't know.
You know, you're absolutely right, John. I got bitten 4 times yesterday just trying to eat dinner. You know, I'm sitting there in my shorts trying to relax, got the fan going, and I'm getting eaten alive, and it's October. Nina, do you know anything about that? What's with these bugs?
certainly there are still mosquitoes around. We've had them in the middle of the night, even here in our apartment in New York City, and it is a moment of mental dissonance when it's late October in the middle of the night and you hear that whining sound. I think they just haven't been killed off because we haven't had a frost. And as for whether there are changes in bugs or other migrations of plants north or south, scientists are definitely keeping up with those. I don't know if the bugs the caller has seen are just anecdotal evidence or part of something larger, but it's certainly worth reporting to your local extension agent because they follow these things and are glad to hear reports from the field.
Nina, this is New York City. What's a local extension agent?
Well, oddly enough, they're all over, and there are some even in New York. So through Cornell and the other land-grant colleges, there are extension agents all over the country, and we do have them in New York, so just look up Cornell Cooperative Extension, and if not, maybe, you know, in your county.
You know, there was one, I used to work in Restoration Plaza in the middle of Bed-Stuy, and down the hall from us was Cornell Cooperative Extension, and I just figured it was a front for something. I had no idea what it was.
It's a front for surreptitious vegetable growers in the city. It's urban gardeners.
There you go. Irene from Manhattan, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Just fine.
I just have a quick comment. It's funny that this topic came up this morning because last weekend when I went grocery shopping, I told my butcher that I wanted to cook fall into existence. So I bought all kinds of stew meats and soups, and I want to cook fall into being.
And how did it? How's it been? How did it work?
Well, I was sweating a lot, but I did make my stews.
Well, you know, eating locally, a lot of people present as a challenge. You know, the eat local challenge, the local for business. It's only if you're purist. Gee, it's so hard. You got to have a lot of money, all the time and effort. But I think eating locally is easy compared to living in the moment. And if there's anything this changeable weather tells us, it's to live in the moment because all our wishing doesn't make any difference. And the one simple thing we do at home is we submit to the season. So we're eating the fruit and vegetables that are at the market, whether that was our plan or not. And it just gives you one less thing to worry about.
For the ignorant consumer, such as myself, I go to the store and I don't know what's in season and what's not. If there's tangerines there from Israel, I buy them. If there's tomatoes there from who knows where, I buy them. What's supposed to be in season right about now?
Well, here in the northeast, north of the mid-Atlantic, I guess it's fair to say, but not quite New England, we still have, as I say, until there's a frost, those summer vegetables. Think of Mediterranean dishes and Italian dishes, peppers, tomatoes, eggplant, basil. And then fall vegetables are very much root crops. The way to remember it is that the storable vegetables, the non-perishable vegetables that you could put in your root cellar, are coming in. So those are potatoes and sweet potatoes, winter squashes like butternut, pumpkins. There are a lot of fall greens in this region. So those are greens that are frost resistant, unlike, say, a lettuce, which is really full of water and a very delicate creature when it freezes. There will be collards, kale, spinach, a whole range of Asian greens like mizuna and tatsoi, cabbages for the more traditional European. So it's time to make braised red cabbage, when it cools down, and coleslaw if it doesn't cool down.
We're taking your calls at 212-433-WNYC. That's 433-9692. Eric from Tenafly, good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I'm calling because, I'm a surfer, and we haven't been getting any waves. And my theory is the reason is because the heat is so high. You know, the ocean doesn't radiate off its temperature and bring those hurricanes up here. And if you look at the ocean temperatures now, they're in the 70s. Is very high for this time of year.
So there is a downside to endless summer.
Oh yeah, yeah. Surfing is not a summer sport. It's a winter sport.
Do you know, water temperature is an interesting question, food wise too, because some of the best fish in New York City is found from fishmongers and actual fishermen at Green Market. And I'd be interested to know how their catches are different. They're probably waiting for water temperatures to drop for certain fish to come back.
Ramon from Manhattan, you're on the air. Good morning.
How you doing?
Good.
As a year-round bike commuter from Brooklyn over the bridges and into Manhattan, I couldn't ask for better weather, to tell you the truth. And for the bikers out there, we are loving this weather.
Does it ever get a little too hot?
No, I mean, for me, it doesn't. For other people, it might. But it's all about, you know, I mean, I'm still in short sleeves and shirt and shorts right now, riding in today.
I heard that they canceled the Chicago Marathon because it was so hot over just this last weekend. Did you hear anything about that?
Well, I heard someone died because of that.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, boy. Okay, more downsides to the endless summer. Have you changed your diet at all, Ramon? Or are you just living it up as summertime?
I'm living it up like it's summertime. This is beautiful. You know, I'm a Southern California native, and I couldn't ask for better weather, to tell you the truth.
Okay, well, thank you for the call. Karen from Highland Park. Karen, are you there? Karen? Where'd you go? Oh, there
Hello?
You are. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
You're on the air. Good morning.
Oh, hi. Great. I have a question and a comment. Stink bugs. There seems to be an enormous hatch of them in central New Jersey, in this area where I live, and they're coming into our houses. I've never seen this many of them, and it's distressing, even though I know they're harmless. I wondered whether anyone had heard anything about this other than my little area. And the second thing I just wanted to say was I belong to an organic farm, and I have piles of kale. So finally this morning I've decided to make a kale and chickpea soup with some Spanish chorizo sausage, and I hope it gets cool.
You've had enough of the kale.
That's just the thing for it. White beans are also good with kale soups, and Claudia Roden has a recipe I've modified over the years, which is Swiss chard with chickpeas, some rice and yogurt or other things you can put in those soups if you want to have them cold or room temperature. I'll be making ratatouille for the third time this week because my parents brought us some beautiful vegetables, and maybe a frittata, which is my idea of a kind of room temperature summer dish.
You know, this is the perfect conversation going into the lunchtime hour. You're listening to 93.9 FM and AM 820 WNYC. I'm Errol Lewis of the Daily News, sitting in for Brian Lehrer. Brian will be back tomorrow. And we're talking with Nina Plank, former director of New York's Green Market and the author of Real Food, What to Eat and Why. We're also taking your calls at 212-433-WNYC. And this is Tiffany in Westchester. Good morning.
Good morning. I just called to say that I took myself to an orchard yesterday to get in the mood, and I got apples of every kind, and I'm baking all day. And I also wanted to say I made ratatouille last night.
Can I ask you about this, Tiffany? I was upstate over the weekend, up near West Point,
okay.
And there was some apple picking going on. That's not why we were up there. But the really striking thing was, number one, there was no foliage to speak of. And that, in some ways, kind of discouraged us from even going for the apples. We figured this just isn't fall. What orchard did you go to?
I went to Salinger's. It's off of 684 Exit 8.
Isn't it hot to? It's kind of hot to be baking, isn't it?
Yes, it's very hot. But last night I made a ratatouille, and I hate to say this, I did it in a slow cooker.
And I did mine stovetop instead of turning on the oven, and it was just a little soupier, but perfectly delicious. And I've used yellow tomatoes this time instead of orange, and it was all, instead of red, I mean, and it all looked like, I don't know, stewed pumpkin.
Yeah, that's what mine looked like.
You really have to roll with it if you're going to eat local.
Thank you for the call, Tiffany. So Nina, what's the apple harvest like under these weather conditions?
Well, that's a good question. Apples really should be stored properly, and most orchardists are really sophisticated about that now. The apple wants to be cool and with humidity controlled, and also gases like oxygen and carbon dioxide, and they're able to control these things quite minutely now, which means that we get pretty decent eating apples. You mentioned the seasons, well into March and April and even sometimes May here in the New York City region. And that didn't used to be the case. It used to be that the early season apples just got all mushy, and then you were lucky to keep a few Yorks or some classic keeper like Granny Smith, and they'd all be mushy by the spring. But we can pretty much eat well year-round for apples.
Tom from Manhattan, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you folks doing today?
Just fine.
Now, I don't know if I'm from another planet, but I do realize this.
the weather's been like this for years. When I came here in the 1980s, I came from the Pacific Northwest. I was wearing a wool sweater. I got on a bus, crosstown bus. It was air-conditioned. It was October 28th. So, you know, it really doesn't get cold until November, you know. It really, and then it lasts forever until probably early June, you know, the frost and everything. I find the weather's cockamamie out here, but this is average, you know. It stays warm. I always remember Halloween's to be warm and muggy, and it just never seems to be cold.
So it's not that different from the Pacific Northwest?
Yeah, in the Northwest, after Labor Day, it's like clockwork. It's cold. It's a temperate climate. But if you recall, New York is on the same latitude as Rome, and Rome gets a Mediterranean wind. And, you know, you look at the New York One, and you see their weather is very similar to ours. You know, and we really will not probably get cold until November or late November. I'd be surprised if we see any cold weather soon.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and that'll be our last call. Nina Plank, thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure.
I'm Errol Lewis in for Brian Lehrer. Brian returns tomorrow and talks with Harper's Magazine, a writer who's proposing a general strike for Election Day.